You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
Well, not quite Michael Avery this evening. Myself, Kirby Lakranji. The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Well, it's time for tonight's panel discussion, and joining me in the studio here this evening is Mark Waxberger. He's the founder and managing director of the Capital Hotels and Apartments. Thank you, Mark, for joining us. And then on the line is Chifiwa Chibenga, CEO of Tourism Business Council, Blessing Manale, Chief Director Communications and Departmental Spokesperson for the Department of Tourism. And we welcome everybody this evening, and thank you for joining us. The Tourism Amendment Draft Bill aims, amongst others, to address the regulatory vacuum on short-term rentals by defining short-term home rentals as the renting or leasing on a temporary basis for reward of a dwelling or a part thereof to a visitor. It also seeks to enable the Minister of Tourism to determine thresholds regarding short-term home rentals through a notice in the Government Gazette. The Amendment Draft Bill, in its current form, proposes that the Minister of Tourism can be empowered to determine such threshold. Let's get everybody's opinion about this. Mark, let's start with you. You're sitting opposite me in the studio this evening. Give us your opinion about this.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here. My opinion on behalf of the Capital Hotels is that the we're really grateful, firstly, that government is finally looking at this. I mean, regulation of short-term rentals, be it Airbnb or be it any other booking platform, is something that has existed for over 5 years, I would say worldwide, with over 17 regions regulated on Airbnb. And South Africa has been behind the curve, and our opinion is that small business is fantastic. That's what we need in this country. Airbnb is a way of creating small business opportunities. But without regulation, there's a tax vacuum that is being missed. And that tax benefit that these small businesses have by essentially not charging VAT, not having to pay rates and taxes, potentially not paying income tax and a whole other chain of taxes, is essentially a discount that they're giving to the market and undermining us in the hotel sector. So we're not against any small business. We just want a bit of regulation to level the playing field.
So Mark, let's just before we go to the guests on online this evening, so let's just take us through a practical example here. Somebody comes to your hotel and stays in your hotel, say for instance as a long stay client. Let's call it 3 weeks. Let's make a number, 3 weeks. Or I can potentially go to somebody else and maybe there's a back room that I can rent or a piece of a home that I can rent. Is both of those not VAT-able?
So we're registered for VAT, of course, and we charge VAT. What you'll find is that a lot of small businesses don't have to register for VAT. You know, they're under the million rand threshold, fine. But there's quite a few players in this Airbnb game and other small businesses that are not so small doing, you know, creating a real business out of it and not actually going and registering for VAT. At the same time, you've got, take an example of a small business that wants to charge 1,000 rand a night versus a hotel room of 1,000 rand a night. We will pay VAT. We will pay income tax, which you might say, a little individual, if you've got, you know, a spare room on the side, are you going as far as declaring that in your tax return? Maybe not. Then we also have commercial rates and taxes, whereas your room on your side is going to be on residential. But like I say, it's not the room on the side. What we're talking about is some people are creating real businesses of tens and twenties of apartments, sometimes even more, all running on Airbnb as really commercial enterprises within a body corporate building, within a residential building, and not paying a dime of tax and just undercutting that 1,000 rand a night that we have to charge. 300 rand is going to taxes, whereas with them, pretty much 10 odd rand. So we're just advocating create a tax, which this country needs taxes. I mean, we're absolutely deprived of tax in terms of the way we're heading towards junk status. Create a tax that is in line with what's called the Amsterdam model, is what I profess. This is something that Airbnb is already doing in multiple locations worldwide. It started in Amsterdam, where Airbnb collects an occupancy and pays that directly to the fiscus. Right now, and maybe Blessing can comment further, but essentially what's being proposed is a regulation just to limit the number of nights that you can rent out on Airbnb. Whereas I think that could be beneficial, but my personal opinion is just level the playing field through a tax. It will be easy to collect. It takes the administrative burden and the ability to govern away from our, you know, we battle in South Africa to regulate. Let's not kid about that. This way, Airbnb would just collect the tax and pay it over to our fiscus.
Well, Blessing, Marcus introed you there without me having to intro you. Tshifiwa, we're going to come to you just now. Blessing, let's get your take on the proposed changes and potentially just maybe also answer maybe just something that that Marcus raised there.
Good evening to Mark and to Tshifiwa. Well, let me start by saying that we've created the legislation simply because there was a vacuum. Not because there was a tax vacuum or there was a town planning vacuum, because there was a tourism planning vacuum. We're basically saying that there is this major tourism activity that's taking place within our regulatory space, and it seems to be no one else's problem. And that's why we basically started by saying, let us empower an authority. And we chose that authority is a better place to be the Minister of Tourism. So the first step in the legislation is to say, this is the Minister of Tourism's job. And let me start by also saying that it is not aimed at the threshold are not to limit the number of night stays. It basically says, once you have reached this particular proposed threshold, whenever the minister will decide what that threshold are, those thresholds are, then certain instruments will kick in. Reporting may become compulsory. We may have to then say, but we'll forward this information to the tax authorities. And even the online platforms themselves will then say, if you reach this threshold, you are compelled by domestic law in that country to share your information with the tax authority or with the planning authorities. So that they can exercise regulation of residential properties and engaging in particular business. So that is not our space. Our space is that we need to be able to put those thresholds so that other authorities can then be able to kick in and do what they need to do.
So right. So if we have to say why is it important for the minister to do this, it really is to be able to identify and place people into I suppose silos, so to speak. You know, these are short-term guests and these are long-term guests. And Blessing, what you're saying is that's your job as a department at the end of the day.
No, what we're not saying is to put them into silos. We're saying that it is becoming a major activity. This has become a stream of doing business in the tourism industry, and we also need it for good intention. We've seen destinations going down because event organizers don't know how many beds are available. In sporting events, in cultural events, we're also seeing that we need that information so that we can know what to invest where. We might find that a town like Nice Night sitting with 2,000 beds, but if they are on the Airbnb platform, we might not be able to know whether they reach the threshold or not. We are saying that we need that information. We need to know what's happening in the sector because we can only take the best tourism investment decisions when we know which product is where. So it's actually a proactive step of saying that we need to know what's happening in the sector, and this is one instrument. The threshold will tell us that this area is now actively available for beds for this amount of period paid.
Tshifiwa, we haven't heard from you yet this evening, so let's bring you into this conversation. Your opinion about the changes in legislation.
Thank you for having me, and good evening to the guests as well. As a tourism business council, through various associations, we have been lobbying government for the past few years, to really look into this space, to say, we can't have, this segment of accommodation, that has come into South Africa, growing in, room numbers. We can't just leave it untouched, without looking into how do we make sure that we level the playing field. So from the business point of view, it was mainly leveling the playing field. I know that lots of people talk about, businesses being against Airbnb. The businesses have never been against Airbnb. And we'll never be against Airbnb because it's a technology platform, and there are many other technology platforms that are out there in the market that are doing the same things. So it's more so from our point of view that, you know, we have this space, we have this segment of accommodation. What do we do with it? What kind of regulation, you know, we need to put in to make sure that, you know, people are not just going on and on buying apartments. If you go to Cape Town, there are people who are buying more and more apartments from the city stock. You know, those apartments that are meant to be, you know, rented for long term, putting into short term rental, really operating like hotels. In other instances, we've seen, you know, in a certain, you know, geographical area where you find that, you know, there is a big hotel that have invested, paying rents and taxes, you know, really sustaining the area, creating jobs and so forth and so on, and adhering to all the local laws, provincial law and national laws. And then they're competing with the same number of room stocks in that particular area, you know, where people, if they're going to go to that particular area, they can choose to go to others that are not paying anything, and therefore they can discount their price. And then, you know, you find that, you know, occupancy rates from hotels are starting to sort of dwindle. So it is with that where we're saying, you know, this space has to be looked at. If people want to operate as businesses, they must operate as businesses. You know, they can go and register and do this as, you know, formal businesses. Of course, they have to adhere with all the local, you know, laws. They have to adhere with, you know, the provincial laws, liquor licensing, VAT, and all the thresholds that are out there, in, you know, that are applicable in other, you know, parts of legislation, you know, that are relevant to someone who wants to operate a hospitality business or accommodation business. So it's quite important that level, you know, we level the playing field to make sure that, you know, we don't have, you know, others that can discount because they have the luxury to discount, and then you've got other players that cannot do so because they're paying more. We have seen this in Cape Town during the water crisis, where you find that, you know, those that were operating without proper licenses, when they were throttling water into residential areas, you know, they were part of residential area. Then they were complaining that they don't have enough water. And then you say, well, but you should have enough water if you are registered as business. But they were not registered as business. So there are many things that comes with it. And if we level the playing field, and if we are able to also look into the issues of, you know, quality control in terms of protecting the destination, if we are able to collect tax, you know, which we already do, you know, from the tourism point of view, the tourism levies, where we pay back to South African tourism to specifically market this country as a tourist destination. So there are various things that, you know, we can do to make sure that, you know, the level playing field is equal.
Chifiwa, let me ask you just a secondary question, maybe to this debate. I mean, obviously, as a tourism business council in South Africa, you've got a good look into SA's tourism offering relative to what you could potentially do and what you could potentially get internationally. How do you think it rates from a legislative perspective and just from an offering perspective? And do you think we're up there on a world standard basis?
No, we are definitely up there in the world standard. I mean, look, if you look at the infrastructure that we have, in terms of, you know, the hotel infrastructure, the attraction infrastructure, you know, our infrastructure is up there with, you know, the best in the world. You know, no one can fault us on that. So we rate very, very highly in terms of, you know, the infrastructure part. The roads are still good, although there are certain areas where we need to improve in terms of infrastructure. We do have challenges, you know, issues of safety or perception of safety. It's a big problem for us. As a destination, we also have issues of the whole electricity and Eskom situation. It doesn't sit well with international tourists. So that is one of the things that we need to deal with. Issues of land expropriation and the negativity around it. You know, what is it? How do we explain it to the international community? What does it mean for the country? Those are the things that we need to clear to make sure that the markets out there, you know, are able to say, well, South Africa is ready for business. But in terms of infrastructure, in terms of ranking, you know, we constantly win awards in terms of being the best safari destination. Our hotels are, you know, winning awards from the top in the world. So we're up there. You know, I'm confident that, you know, if we manage certain things, we should be able to attract more tourists.
Mark, we're going to come back to you now because I actually want to talk to you a little bit more about the Amsterdam effect and some of the learning there. Blessing, I just want to bring you just into the conversation here. Given what Chifiwa has said around our experience here in South Africa and what we can offer, what have you guys learned from Airbnb regarding the potential changes to legislation, and how are you guys incorporating that?
Well, I think the biggest lesson we've learned is that you've got a digitizing society, and the tourism sector needs to be able to catch up. And we're beginning to say that if we do not invest in innovation in the tourism sector, we're going to be left behind. We've got a situation whereby we are, as an experience with Airbnb, that there is a major economic activity taking place under our noses, and we're responding like 5 years later after major or similar economies in the world are beginning to respond, or cities of the same offerings, whether it's Paris, whether it's London. But we are saying that as a country that is chasing the same amount of tourism spend, we should have learned from this. And for us, it's actually a big learning curve. We are saying that we need to continue to put our ear to the ground so that when any opportunity arises, the tourism sector should not find itself wanting. But you're also saying to begin to know that whilst tourism is an industry, we've got dependencies on other sectors. For example, local government in this instance should play a bigger role. The tax authorities should play a bigger role. But the IT industry, because a legislation that begins to enter into IT space, we're going to look into things of internet security, personal protection of personal information. So we're learning that we're actually regulating a sector bigger than just big and hospitality.
Right, we're going to come back to Blessing to you just now to talk more about the cooperation between between departments. Mark, you came up, well, I don't know if it was yours, but let's give it to you. You came up with the occupancy tax issue, and you call it the Amsterdam effect. Is that, I mean, that's clearly something that works specifically, I'm assuming, now in Holland, but we don't know about other places. How do other countries potentially deal with this problem? Is that an area that you can talk about?
Yeah, look, just going on to Airbnb and doing a bit of research, there are links that I've listed in my submission to the minister on my comments on the Tourism Amendment Bill, and it links to an Airbnb site that lists 17 countries and multiple states, let's just say, within those countries that have adopted this Amsterdam model. Amsterdam was the first to do it, and I think what they said is, if we start asking for you to list yourself online as someone who's a short-term operator, if you have an apartment in Amsterdam listed online, and if you list it online, we will change your tax rating category, we'll put certain rules in place. I think they said, let's just cut through all of that. Let's put a tax in play that says, Airbnb, please charge the guest an extra X percentage, and pay that over to the municipality for the municipality to administer however they feel fit, and potentially contribute to tourism. You know, as Chifiwe says, hotels pay a tourism levy. Those funds could be collected by Airbnb and paid over to the tourism levy the same way the hotels do. In addition to that, there are multiple other mechanisms searching on Airbnb that have been employed in these countries. For example, Amsterdam also has a restriction on number of days that you can rent out your be it apartment or room, until you have to then register. But I think that's a good thing, but I do take cognizance of how do you regulate. I think that just because jaywalking in South Africa is illegal doesn't stop anyone, from what I've seen. You know, one has to look at it and say, how do you regulate? And if you can't regulate, if you're really realistic and saying, I cannot possibly regulate an abuser of the law, then I say, use this fantastic technology that is around and let the technology platforms come to the party and with a push of a button, fix that problem.
So, I mean, you're talking, you know, specifically for Capital Hotels and Apartments, you know, being the managing director and the founder of that business. The main thrust of your of the clientele that end up in your hotels and your apartments. I mean, I'm assuming those a great deal of those come through Airbnb. Are these just people that are booking online and saying, "Look, I'm happy to stay for whatever period." So, how does that work at the moment? I mean, if I wanted to rent a space as an international guest and I wanted to be here for 6 months, say for instance, or 5 months, I could do that quite easily.
So, the Capital Apartments and Hotels main business is in the corporate sector, where we have groups and conferences and transient travel, mostly in the business sector. Most people staying a night, and we also have our apartment product. And in our apartment product, people will stay anything from a night up till 6 months or even a year, the whole range of that. Now, in that space, that's where we have had competition from Airbnb. I would say less so than others, because business travelers generally prefer to book with a brand name and a corporate that can be trusted, I would say, biasly, of course, that they go to the capital for that, for those standards. But going on to Airbnb for leisure travel in particular, you know, you might find that if you go on holiday to Platt, I go straight to Airbnb for that. I think it's fantastic. And it's in that space that we're saying we're effectively... myself booking on Airbnb accommodation in Platt, I'm essentially competing with staying at the Beacon Isle or one of the other fantastic hotels in Platt. So this is where we're trying to just reconcile and say, you know, booking that home in Platt or booking the Beacon Isle in Platt, should they be the same price? Should one pay tax? Should one not pay tax? Should one be regulated? Should one not be regulated? And just level those playing fields.
I mean, and I think Chifiwa made that point just now quite well, as well, saying that really what's necessary is the level of the playing field. Blessing, I'm afraid it's all coming down on you this evening, because you're the guy that should be leveling the playing field. So tell us quickly now, the legislation is obviously at comment phase. So we're not talking about legislation that's going to be promulgated soon, or are we?
No, we're not speaking of a legislation that will be promulgated soon, and we're not sure whether that is good or bad, because we are everyone else is stage, both the industry and government and other players. After the closing date, which was 60 days from the 15th of April, so it's coming to an end towards in the next week or two, and then after that, then we'll consider the comments, consolidate them, say this is what industry and all stakeholders are playing. This is where we're getting it wrong. We might have to say we are now seeing that night stays are not good enough. These are other ideas that are coming into the pot. And then we then ultimately we have to publish the final draft regulations for comment also, because now, as I've said, we're basically inserted enabling clauses in the amendment bill.
Because you see, I mean, Blessing, I suppose the frustration that I'm hearing and that it may be that I would feel that if I was in the tourism space, is that in order to make tourism work in a country, it almost takes like a country effort. It doesn't just take a department's effort. It's not just about the tourism department. It really is about, and Blessing, you pointed that, you know, it's about local government getting involved. It's about the police getting involved. It's about you yourselves getting involved. It's about tax getting involved. But we're now talking about an absolute minefield of legislations and people and departments, and trying to make all of that work in a place like South Africa must be really, really tough. Why not just utilize technology to help you in something like that? Or is there something else that the department wants to do? Because surely the only thing that we can do as a country, one of the low-hanging fruits in this country, is the fact that, you know, if we could double our tourism numbers in this country, that could be an amazing opportunity for this country from a jobs perspective, from a GDP perspective, and just quite frankly from just really ratcheting down the unemployment numbers and ratcheting up the employment numbers. Blessing, what is happening at governmental level to try and make sure that all of this is happening?
Well, I mean, it's exactly the reason that the Department of Tourism have taken it upon itself to propose that those powers should go to the Minister of Tourism, because we wanted to avoid a situation whereby particularly the metros, the bigger muscle municipalities, then start pushing local bylaws and create even more confusion. We've got cross-border issues, you've got capacity issues. So the reason we've actually started was to make sure that we relieve the local municipalities of the burden of individual bylaws, but also to not put up the pressure on any other tiers of government. And that is why we wanted to do it that way. But as we were saying, that our threshold, when it hits a particular number, whatever the number of night stays would be, then the department would be in a better position to say to local government, with the technological information, by the way, we're working very closely with the platforms, because we're going to need them more than we need a state power, to say to them, give us this information, and we give that information to say to local government, this part of area seems to be developing as a rental node, for example. So when you think like this, and that is exactly the kind of support local government need. It's not about giving them more stick to police. It's about giving them the right information to be able to know, for the police to know that this area is congested, it has got high levels of Airbnb. If there is a major crime there, we would run into serious problems of image. So we're actually doing this for that purpose, to make sure that we're able to rally everyone behind government to understand what we're doing and to be able to benefit from our allies.
Chifua, I've seen tourists being robbed of their belongings. I've seen them being followed back from airports and in front of very large, very fancy hotels being robbed. Do you think government's doing enough, and do you think tourism is a priority in this country?
Look, I think that we've gone a long way in terms of prioritizing tourism, and I think that there are efforts underway to really deal with the situation of safety and security. And we've seen this with, when we raised the whole issue of, follow-home robberies, we have seen police responding to that. We would want them to respond, even more effectively and, really prioritize this issue. But they have been there. They have been responding. I think that, the whole issue of tourism, in terms of understanding the economic impact of tourism, within the country, it's an important one, and it takes a whole nation to understand what it means when people come into this country, when people travel their own country, what impact does it have? How many jobs does it create? So it is something that we need to do more of, even from the private sector point of view, to really drum up, to beat our own drum and say, well, guys, look at what we're doing within the community. Look at what, how many jobs have been created. I mean, we employ directly over 720,000 people within the tourism space, indirectly over 1.5 million, people. That's a huge number. And I think that we're only starting now to really beat our drum to say that, look at us, look at what we have done. But we didn't do much of that in the past. So it is important that we do that. And I think the government is coming on board with the president really, listening to us as an industry, listening to the plans that we have, the strategies that we have, and implementing some of the strategies that we put on the table, that we proposed. And we work very well with the Department of Tourism in doing so. I just want to go back on the issue of this whole Airbnb and why we are where we are today.
Very briefly, please, Chifua.
Had we self-regulate from the beginning, had we really put our best foot forward and say, well, we want to get into this space, this is how we're going to self-regulate, government may not have been playing this part. We as businesses, or the formal business side, would not have complained about this. But we need to learn how to self-regulate, so that we can control our own space, and we can then be able to push things that we need to be pushing within the industry. So self-regulation is good, but in the absence of self-regulation, then government has to step in, and then things have to be equalized.
Well, that's unfortunately all we've got time for tonight. Let me give you 10 seconds, Mark. Give us your closing remark.
Just to echo some of the things that Chifua said, with blessing listening, is to be able to have these engagements with government. We couldn't have engagements like this 2 or 3 years ago. There's so much progress in this field between this regulation and even the visa issue. It's fantastic to see that we can have these engagements. So really a big thanks to Blessing, and a big thanks to Chifua.
Well, that was Mark Waxberger, founder and MD of the Capital Hotels and Apartments. And then on the line tonight was Blessing Manale, Chief Director Communications and Departmental Spokesperson for Department of Tourism, and Chifua Chibenga, CEO of Tourism Business Council. This is Classic 102.7.